Is Pope Francis preparing the way for the Antichrist? Is he an apostate? Is he a false prophet? Is he a heretic? These are questions that we have to consider, since Archbishop Vigano is answering yes to these questions. He is saying that Pope Francis is carrying out a coup d'etat within the church to bring the prophet of the Antichrist to the throne of Peter. He says he's an apostate, a heretic, and so on. So let's take a look at that. I want to see what Archbishop Vigano says in his own words. We're going to consider it. After that, we are also going to talk about the new organization that he has created, a house of formation to train priests who will resist the errors of Vatican II. So he is starting his own seminary to train priests, including priests who have already been disciplined by their bishops and are not authorized to exercise any ministry in the church. He is going to give shelter to them, harbor them, train them, and then send them out to celebrate the liturgy without the approval of the local bishop and or the pope. So completely independent. However, he is still claiming that this is all within the communion of the Catholic Church. So I want to take a look at this. I'm going to share my screen. You can see some of the reports. Perhaps beginning with, let's see, LifeSite News. There we go. Archbishop Vigano, false prophet Bergoglio,
I have Father Altman's pronunciation on the mind here. Bergoglio is guilty of all-out apostasy.
We have all sorts of hair splitting about the distinctions between formal and material heresy, none of which do the least thing to impede Bergoglio's destructive action, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano said on Saturday. And I want to ask the question here, because we often hear the claim, Pope Francis is a mean, spiteful, vindictive pope who gets rid of anybody who disagrees with him. And I want to just point out the obvious here. You know, Vigano has been saying stuff like this for quite some time, making all kinds of accusations against Pope Francis, and yet he hasn't been excommunicated and or laicized. Take note of that. Next time somebody says, Pope Francis is just mean and vindictive, my question is, why does he allow people like Vigano to continue to say what they say with the title Archbishop? Now, yes, he doesn't have any diocese, he doesn't have territory, he doesn't have anything like that, but he still has the title, and he hasn't been formally excommunicated. Just throwing that one out there. Okay, well, let's continue here. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano delivered an address to the Is the Pope Catholic Conference this past weekend, forcefully stating that Jorge Maria Bergoglio is a false prophet who fits the description of the one spoken of by the prophet Daniel during the time of the final persecution of the church, to whom no Catholic owes any obedience or collaboration, but rather steadfast resistance. Okay, so we're making an eschatological claim here. I want to really just point out that, okay, well, if it turns out that we don't see the ushering in of the Antichrist relatively soon, then it turns out that Vigano is a false prophet himself. And what does the book of Deuteronomy say about false prophets? Maybe go and read Deuteronomy 18, just as a refresher. So just pointing that one out. It's a pretty grandiose claim. He says, we are far beyond heresy. St. Robert Bellarmine could never have imagined that an emissary of Freemasonry could go so far as to be elected Pope with the purpose of demolishing the church from within. I just want to remind you, it was just a few weeks ago that Pope Francis came out with a new document of the Magisterium saying that Catholics can't be Freemasons. It's pretty interesting, right? So I take it that Vigano thinks that a Freemason who's an emissary of Freemasonry, who is trying to promote Freemasonry in the church, is promoting a magisterial document saying that Catholics can't be Freemasons because it's incompatible with the Catholic faith, and that the Pope is doing this as some kind of trick, some kind of, you know, intricate strategy here to make you become a Mason while at the same time rejecting Freemasonry. Oh, okay. All right, well, let's continue. Usurping and abusing the very power of the papacy itself against the papacy. Yes, you heard that correctly. He does not believe that Pope Francis is the Pope. And this is nothing new. I've already demonstrated this before, and he continues to assert that here in this message, which means, of course, that if you're saying Pope Francis isn't the Pope, and he actually is the Pope, then you're by definition in schism. That is, that right there meets the definition of schism. So if Vigano is wrong here, he is in schism and has been automatically excommunicated already. The only thing we're waiting for is a formal expression of that excommunication, but nonetheless, that excommunication has already taken place. It's always helpful with public figures for the local bishop or even the Pope to declare the excommunication, just so it's clear to everybody. But again, if he is wrong on this point and Pope Francis is the Pope, that means Vigano is not a Catholic. He is not a full member or in full communion with the Catholic Church. It would be something like how we would consider old Catholics, how we would consider Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, and so on. It would be a little different for him, however, because he was Catholic at one point. So just keep that in mind. He says, nor could he have imagined that a hypothetical pope would surpass mere heresy and embrace all-out apostasy. He's making this claim about Bellarmine, and I just want to point out that Bellarmine himself would rightly point you to magisterial documents that would exclude this kind of situation where the papacy itself would become the throne of the Antichrist. Bellarmine himself wrote against that view because it was Protestants who were promoting the view that the throne of St. Peter will become the throne of the Antichrist. And so Bellarmine wrote against them and said, this Protestant heresy is just that. And he would cite magisterial documents of the church that would exclude that possibility and show that that can't even happen. So far from being unable to conceive of this scenario, Bellarmine was already ahead of the curve and was addressing this particular kind of scenario that Vigano is promoting. And Bellarmine rejected it, not because he had an opinion that was against this, but rather because Bellarmine rightly recognized that the teachings of the Catholic Church would exclude this view. So what we have here is not only is Vigano in schism, and no longer in full communion with the Catholic Church, but he is also teaching various theological errors that go against traditional Catholic teaching. Ironic, because he sets himself up as an individual who promotes traditional Catholic teaching. Well, if you look at church history, this is usually how it goes, right? Somebody will say that they're the ones preserving the traditional teachings of the church, and yet they're the ones who depart from it. The Protestant. Consider the Protestant reformers. They thought that they were presenting the traditional church, traditional teachings of the Catholic Church. No, they were obviously wrong, but that's how they presented themselves. This is how every heretic, this is how every schismatic operates. They always think that they're in line with the apostolic faith. Have you ever seen a heretic who says, yeah, I'm a heretic? Have you ever seen a schismatic who says, yeah, I'm a schismatic? You don't see that. They always think that they are in line with the apostolic faith. This is the way it works. Organized by Dr. Edmund Mazza. I've been warning people about his content because he was promoting the view of Benevacantism, the claim that while Benedict was alive, he was actually still the Pope and not Pope Francis. And I've pointed out to people, well, as soon as Pope Francis dies, what happens? Well, a lot of these Benevacantists are going to become Sedevacantists. They're going to say the see is empty, that there is no Pope at this moment, which is, of course, what happened with many of them. The online event was streamed on YouTube on Saturday, December 9th. It featured an array of speakers discussing whether or not Francis is actually the Pope, a topic that Archbishop Vigano noted has emerged after a decade of Bergoglian horrors that are worse than those we have witnessed in the last 60 years. Well, of course, you know, I want to say that there was a time I would have believed what Vigano is saying here. There was a time, in fact, when I did believe these things in many ways. But what I learned was that a lot of these claims that are made about Pope Francis are false. And also gained a greater understanding of the magisterium of the Catholic Church and what it teaches. And through that experience, I began to question some of this stuff. So I am sympathetic to an extent with the people who are deceived and believe what Vigano believes, because at one point I was there myself. But what I do here on this channel, in addition to engaging other content, is I address this kind of stuff because I know that there's a lot of other people out there who haven't yet worked through these issues and seen where the deception is and where the error is. That's why I address a lot of this stuff on the channel. In fact, I have a whole playlist dedicated to it with about 327 videos right now and counting, called Understanding the Crisis in the Catholic Church. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Definitely watch it because I walk you through all of these various claims that are used to promote this view that Vigano is promoting. Okay, well, it says, Liz Yore, co-host of LifeSite's Faith and Reason show, addressed the conference as well. Father Paul Kramer and blogger Ann Barnhart also appeared. Kramer has written multiple books on the subject, including On the True and False Pope, The Case Against Bergoglio. Archbishop Vigano's 50-minute message was cut down, Mazza told LifeSite, to 34 minutes for the stream. It's a powerful assessment of the state of the church today. He also touched on the current events in Gaza, calling out the heresy of Zionism, while mentioning Epstein Island and the blackmail Israeli intelligence officials hold over politicians to control them. Ultimately, however, his address served as a response to critics of his statements on the papacy in recent months. We have all sorts of hair splitting about the distinctions between formal and material heresy, none of which do the least thing to impede Bergoglio's destructive action, Vigano, who recently stated a house of formation in Italy for future priests, remarked. Who started that house, I should say. We cannot behave as if we were resolving a question of a point of canon law. No. The Lord is being outraged. The church is being humiliated, and souls are being lost against a usurper. Remains on the throne. Because a usurper remains on the throne. I would say, yeah, it is more of an issue of canon law. What Vigano is proposing is actually contrary to traditional Catholic ecclesiology. That's the problem here. He's promoting a doctrinal error that is condemned by the Catholic Church in traditional Catholic teachings. This scenario is excluded. It is not possible. A great place to start would be Bishop Gasser's Relatio at the First Vatican Council, or maybe where I go over that in my video on Vatican I ecclesiology. So if you haven't read that Relatio, maybe go to that video and you'll see me go over it. That's one place to start, but I've addressed many other magisterial documents that would exclude this particular kind of ecclesiology that he's promoting. It's not Catholic. It is
actually much closer to Protestantism than it is Catholicism, ironically. At the same time, he said that what we cannot do, because we do not have the authority, is to officially declare that Jorge Murillo or Murillo Bergoglio is not Pope. The terrible impasse in which we find ourselves makes any human solution impossible. This is a distinction without a difference. To say that Pope Francis isn't the Pope and to declare it officially at this point really doesn't mean anything. For all practical purposes, he's trying to say, well, we don't have any kind of, mechanism above the papacy to officially declare these things, right? Okay. That's true, but he still makes the personal and private judgment that Pope Francis isn't the Pope. And I would just simply say, but you also can't do that as well. Moreover, his view that basically the throne of St. Peter has been hijacked by the Antichrist and his regime, again, is excluded by traditional Catholic theology. So there is a theological error here that is Protestant in nature. Vigano got this from the Protestants, especially the Protestant reformers, and he is once again allowing it to resurface in the Catholic Church. His Excellency made similar remarks in his Vitium consensus message on October 1st. At the same time, Vigano argued that Catholics should consider the possibility that Jorge Bergoglio obtained the office of the papacy with a criminal intention to carry out a coup d'etat within the church and bring the prophet of the Antichrist to the throne of Peter. Again, look at Bellarmine, where he responds to this Protestant argument. It is a Protestant argument that Vigano is presenting here. Protestantism all over again. Sure, Vigano doesn't believe in sola scriptura. Sure, he doesn't believe in some of those other distinctions. But his understanding of Catholicism is Protestant at its core, insofar as at the core of Protestantism is the notion that I get to sit in judgment of the Catholic magisterium, which is what he does. He doubled down on those remarks Saturday by mentioning that a Luciferian intelligence is at work. We know that John Podesta was working on behalf of Hillary Clinton and Obama and the globalist elite in general to promote a colored revolution within the church that was supposed to oust Benedict XVI from the papacy, elect an ultra-progressive pope, and substantially modify the Catholic magisterium by making it accept the demands of the agenda of 2020. Or 2030, gender equality, the introduction of gender ideology and LGBTQ doctrine, the democratization of church governance, collaboration in Neo-Malthusian project of the Great Reset, cooperation in immigrationism, and cancel culture, he said. I feel bad for Archbishop Vigano because I honestly get the impression maybe he's not all there anymore. That's the impression that I get after reading him whenever he spoke about Russia, somehow being part of the Holy Spirit's effort to hold back the Antichrist and Russia as Third Rome. And I was just thinking, goodness. So we're now embracing various versions of Eastern Orthodox ecclesiology and promoting that within the Catholic Church and promoting that as Catholic. That's when I just said, okay, I'm out. You remember that SpongeBob meme, where he sits up from the couch and he's like, okay, I'm out. That's when I just checked out. All these buzzwords. Yeah. It's like, Vigano's taking all of these various buzzwords and concerns that people have, puts them all together in one very long run-on sentence. So it's certainly going to appeal to those people who are vulnerable to this stuff. It continues, it seems clear to me that this subversive project has found perfect realization in the appointment of Bergoglio. And I use the word appointment deliberately, and that it is confirmed by his consistent pattern of acts of governance and magisterial teaching, both public and private, over the course of this most inauspicious decade. You mean the magisterial teachings that Pope Francis says homosexuality is a sin, the church cannot bless sin and cannot therefore bless gay unions, the same Pope who says transgenderism is ideological colonization and is opposed to transgenderism in his magisterium in Amoris Laetitia, who says that people who are in a state of mortal sin must go to confession before they receive communion, and he says this in his magisterium, the same magisterium of Pope Francis that teaches all sorts of things that are contrary to woke ideology, liberalism, and all of the things that he just accused Pope Francis of promoting. I can give you an endless list of everything that Pope Francis has taught in his magisterium that is contrary to what Vigano has just said here. So all I can do is present the facts to you of what Pope Francis has actually taught versus what Vigano says about Pope Francis. And I just have to trust that, okay, you'll embrace the facts and what Pope Francis has actually taught over and against what people are saying he taught. And again, I have a whole playlist doing that. I'm not going to reproduce 327 videos here in one stream. I will just point you to the Understanding the Crisis in the Catholic Church Magisterium, where I go through these things and these common talking points that you see from Vigano. And I just take you straight to the primary sources of what Pope Francis has actually said. Cut through the fake news, cut through the false narratives that are out there, even being promoted by Catholics. And I just actually show you what Pope Francis himself says. And you know, I just have to trust at that point that you will accept the facts over the accusations. Okay. Bishop Schneider of Kazakhstan and Professor Roberto De Matai of the Lepanto Institute have also issued public statements expressing disagreement with various aspects of Vigano's arguments. Both have taken issue with different aspects of his claim that Francis's intentions and actions invalidate his papacy and that the acceptance of him by the church as the Pope following the 2013 conclave is not sufficient to resolve his actual status. And yeah, that is true that Schneider takes issue with the claim that Francis isn't the Pope, but I've demonstrated other problems with Schneider's false understandings of theology, where he promotes non-Catholic ecclesiology, non-Catholic theology, redefines what the very concept of schism is, all sorts of problems. His heterogeneity to the papacy is now evident and perceived by both the simple faithful as well as by a large part of the clergy and even by certain fringes of the media, Vigano recalled Saturday. The consensus and support for the Argentine Jesuit comes significantly from the ultra-progressive and pro-heretical wing that sponsored his election. All notorious members of the Deep Church and closely linked to the homosexual and pedophile lobby of the Deep State. I mean, all of these are just nice buzzwords that are probably going to catch the attention of people who are already kind of vulnerable to this stuff. And, you know, I could totally see people falling prey to it. The objection that accusing the reigning pontiff of heresy or apostasy could cause division and scandal is belied by the evidence of the division and scandal that is already wildly present in the ecclesial body, precisely because Bergoglio's heresy and apostasy continued. I'll just reiterate, Pope Francis has not taught any heresies. Every accusation that has been made to that effect has been based on fake news rather than the actual sources, the actual teachings. And so I already challenged the claim that Pope Francis has taught any heresies, let alone that he's an apostate. Let me remind you, the term apostasy in the Catholic Church means a total repudiation of the Christian faith. As Pope Francis totally repudiated the Christian faith, like become Muslim or something like that. No. He is not an apostate by any stretch of the imagination. So again, but I do think this kind of rhetoric is going to be effective with certain people. But for anybody who is actually looking at the evidence, really honestly weighing and evaluating the facts, I think they're going to see that this is just pure rhetoric. The intention to harm the church by acting on behalf of an enemy power is not compatible with the acceptance of the papacy.
And there is therefore a defect of consent given by the will of the one elected, confirmed by his words and deeds over the last 10 years. So basically, he's saying that Pope Francis wasn't really elected pope. There was a defect in his will, and you can retroactively discern that because of his deeds over the last 10 years. Oddly enough, I wonder if he actually carries this to its logical conclusion and implies this same logic to say that certain marital unions should be given a declaration of nullity, because it turns out in the end they ended up divorcing, and so that must be evidence of a defect that took place at the moment or the exchange of vows, and therefore it was invalid to begin with. And this is the exact same argument that some people will use today to say that a marriage is annulled. If we're going to use this kind of retroactive insight here based on, you know, the evidence after the fact, I just wonder if he applies this to the annulment system. Maybe he hasn't connected the dots yet on that one. Aside from the fact that this is all just wildly absurd, because Journay would rightly note that the universal and peaceful acceptance of the Roman pontiff, as we had in the case of Pope Francis, would heal in the roots any alleged defects at the moment of his elevation. So this is once again a non-Catholic position. Catholic theologians and Catholics have unanimously and universally been in agreement on the question of unanimous consent. And so universal and peaceful acceptance, I should say. And that doctrine, I think, is the death blow for the kind of stuff that Vigano is promoting here. So once again, we're seeing from Vigano non-Catholic positions being espoused as Catholic. On July 1st of this year, Archbishop Vigano established the Exsurge Domine organization. Vigano has subsequently... Excuse me. Off in there. Vigano has subsequently founded Exsurge Domine USA to assist religious and clergy who live in America. You can visit the website here. Again, this is the foundation that he created to take on disciplined priests who their bishops have disciplined and are currently not issuing any kind of assignment to them because of issues with them, a lot of times disobedience. And so he's harboring those. He's taking them in, training them, and then sending them out to hold illicit and schismatic liturgies. They don't call it that. He presents it as, in communion with the Catholic Church, they present it as this is all in line with canon law. They don't explain how, and it's certainly not in line with canon law. It's certainly schismatic. But this is the way schismatics operate traditionally anyway. They'll always say, yeah, we're operating within the Catholic Church. Have you ever seen a schismatic or heretic who said otherwise? Did Arius say otherwise? Name one heretic and or schismatic who just admitted, yeah, I'm a heretic and schismatic, and yeah, I'm not operating within the apostolic faith and within the bounds of Christ's Church. None of them say that. But in reality, when you just consider the situation objectively, that's what this Exsurge Domine is. And of course, he praises over and over Marcel Lefebvre, the founder of the Schismatic Society of St. Pius X. And he kind of uses him as the foundation for what he's doing today. So in other words, Vigano is a Marcel Lefebvre 2.0. To Marcel Lefebvre's credit, however, Marcel Lefebvre still maintained that the Pope at the time was most likely the Pope. Whereas Vigano is just outright a set of a contest and says, no, the Pope isn't the Pope. So he's actually gone a step further than Marcel Lefebvre went. During his remarks Saturday, Archbishop Vigano alluded to the writings of Bellarmine, who would have never agreed with what Vigano is doing. And is a doctor of the church, is on the Roman pontiff, is often referenced for its theories on how the Pope could lose his office. Why are we even referencing Bellarmine instead of just going to the magisterium in these discussions? I'll just note that how conspicuous that is. Every one of these guys
who has these discussions on papal heresy, the loss of office, they always want to go to theologians, and especially Bellarmine. And even then, they misuse Bellarmine. Even then, they don't get Bellarmine, right? But why are you taking me to writings that are non-authoritative and not binding on my conscience instead of just going to the magisterium of what it actually teaches? Because that actually is binding. Because if you go to the magisterium, I mean, it really works against this view that Vigano is putting forward here. So it's just conspicuous. They never go to the magisterium. His Excellency that said that although many Catholics can see the chaos being sown by the Vatican today, they are not drawing the necessary conclusions. Well, is it really Pope Francis causing the chaos, or is it rather many people who are accusing him and his critics that are creating artificial controversies and creating a great amount of chaos by misrepresenting what he said, promoting outright lies, and promoting dissent? Is it not that the bulk of the chaos comes more from the critics rather than Pope Francis? There's some chaos that comes from Pope Francis to a relative degree, as there is with every pontificate. and some more than others, sure. But that would be a drop in the bucket. That would maybe be 10% of the chaos compared to the 90% of the chaos that the critics have created, the critics of Pope Francis. For them, it is permissible to criticize Bergoglio, but only on the condition that one never criticizes the conciliar idol, Vatican II, the untouchable fetish of the Montanians. So, looks like he rejects Vatican II, which, not surprising. I mean, once you go the set of a contest route, it's only a matter of time before you're going to end up falling in line with the previous set of a contest who have gone before you who also reject Vatican II. There's different kinds of set of contests, you know, with different views. But it's only a matter of time before the new set of a contest, the 2023 set of a contest, kind of end up blending in with the older set of a contest who just say, look, you know, Vatican II's invalid. There hasn't even been a pope since, you know, Pius XII. It's only a matter of time before they just kind of blend in with that crowd. Bergoglio's heresy and apostasy is the tip of the iceberg of a much worse and more widespread crisis in the hierarchy of the clergy that began 60 years ago and has now almost reached its peak. So again, Pope Francis is a heretic. He's an apostate. He is preparing the way for the Antichrist. Vatican II is false. And Pope Francis hasn't disciplined this guy yet. What's going on there? I mean, let's talk about some legitimate criticisms of Pope Francis for a second here. Here's a legitimate criticism for you. Is Pope Francis way too nice and merciful to these people? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With all due respect to His Holiness, maybe he's a little too merciful. Maybe he's a little too lenient. And I would say this not only of guys like that, but also some German bishops. Maybe he's a little too lenient with people on both ends of the spectrum. Is there some room for criticism there? I think so. Vigano, Vatican II was rightly defined by its own architects as the 1789 of the church. Heard that before, right? John the 20, he's just repeating all of the talking points, right? Nothing new here. John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul the 2nd, and Benedict the 16th did not fail to emphasize how the revolutionary and Masonic principles, liberty, equality, and fraternity could in some way be shared and made by their own Catholicism. Well, this is a straw man, but give it time. Give it a few years, and you'll start to see Vigano say the same things about John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul the 2nd, and Benedict. And before too long, he'll start to say they also weren't popes. You know why? Here's why. Let me connect the dots for Vigano and everybody else. Okay. Just one of the dots, right? I mean, let me just show you one of the lines here on how you get there. He's clearly rejecting Vatican II. Okay. Well, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul the 2nd, and Benedict the 16th just completely were on board with Vatican II
and constantly taught Vatican II and reasserted Vatican II in their own magisterium. So it's, if Vatican II is false, then all of these popes teaching Vatican II and reasserting Vatican II and upholding its teachings in their magisterium, it's only a matter of time before you say they're also false. Their teachings are false. And once you come to that point, you have to say, okay, well, you know, none of these guys were popes. The same stuff that led him to believe Pope Francis isn't the Pope at the core is the same stuff that will lead him to believe that John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul the 2nd, and Benedict the 16th weren't popes either. It's only a matter of time before he just connects the knots. You see, the older set of Acontists, the set of Acontists who've been set of Acontists for a while, they've already connected those dots. They're ahead of the game here when it comes to set of Acontism. These new set of Acontists, like Vigano, they're newbies. And they haven't yet connected the dots and worked through the consequences of their views. And give it time, and they will, and you'll see them become more and more and more radicalized. Vigano again reiterated that we are not dealing with a situation where a pope adheres to one specific heresy, which moreover Bergoglio has done repeatedly. I would challenge that. Rather, no doctor of the church has ever contemplated the possibility of an apostate pope or an election falsified and manipulated by the powers avowedly hostile to Christ. Let me stop there. Why are we talking about doctors of the church and theologians and not the actual magisterium and its teachings? Why are we doing that? A doctor of the church, however helpful they are not binding on my conscience. They do not exercise magisterial authority over my conscience or your conscience, however helpful they are. The magisterium, however, does bind your conscience and does exercise that authority. And so why are we talking about what these doctors of the church have said about these things, even though he's wrong on that point anyway? Why are we talking about what the magisterium has said on these things? Because what the magisterium has authoritatively taught and is binding on our conscience is a view of the Catholic Church that would exclude this view of Archbishop Vigano. I once again note how conspicuous it is that they resort to discussions about theologians that are not binding on our conscience while neglecting the authority of the Catholic Church that is binding on our conscience. I guess it sort of makes sense because Vigano has already embraced a Protestant ecclesiology. And obviously, Protestants are going to reject the authority of the Catholic magisterium. And so it kind of makes sense, I guess. Okay, so he says, because such an enormity could only happen in a unique and extraordinary context, such as that of the final persecution foretold by the prophet Daniel and described by St. Paul. Again, making connections here, eschatological connections to the end times. You'll notice that, you know, all of these schismatic figures in church history, they often have wild views of eschatology, and they often think that they're in the end times, that, you know, the advent of the Antichrist is right around the corner. It all goes hand in hand. It's the same kind of end times frenzy that you find in Protestantism and have just find historically within dissenters in Catholic history. He said, our Lord's admonition, when you see the abomination of desolation, is to be understood as precisely because of its absolute uniqueness. That abomination of desolation, according to Jesus, actually occurred with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. That was the context of Matthew 24, was the time of the destruction of the temple. That's the context of Matthew 24. If it's not the context, then Jesus is a false prophet because he says those things would happen within that generation. And they did. So Jesus is not a false prophet. But if his interpretation is true, then this wouldn't necessarily imply that Jesus is a false prophet because those things did not happen within the generation of Jesus saying those things. What you're seeing here is, you know, from Protestantism, what they do is they have these wild views on eschatology and the end times. And this is one of their talking points. And it's curious that Vigano is taking one of these
talking points from Protestantism. There's certain segments of Protestantism on the abomination of desolation and applying it to a future event rather than something fulfilled already in 70 AD. His Excellency also brought up twice the Priestly Society of St. Pius X, which was founded by Marcel Lefebvre in 70. In the past, Vigano has praised Lefebvre for presenting or preserving the faith following the Second Vatican Council. On Saturday, he seemed to issue a warning to the group. His Bergoglio Catholic is addressed from many different angles according to different criteria stemming from various cultural heritages, he stated. The traditional scholastic point of view, the moderate and conciliar, we could say the Montanian point of view, and the one that wavers, so to speak, between the two shores, recognizing Bergoglio as Pope, although being de facto canonically independent from him, I'm referring to the SSPX. But we must recognize that today it is possible to share, along with many priests and laity, a feeling of serious unease and grave scandal due to the cumbersome presence of the Argentine Jesuits. So in other words, he's challenging the SSPX to embrace sedevacantism and recognize that Francis isn't the Pope. Because, you know, people generally in the SSPX recognize that Pope Francis is the Pope. Now, they have other issues, but they generally recognize that. And clearly, Vigano has a point of contention with them on that point. The hierarchy limits itself to demonstrating either cowardice or complicity with the tyrant, and the few discordant voices do not dare to draw the necessary conclusions in the face of the heresies and nonsense of the tenet of Santa Marta. So he feels like the SSPX is not going far enough. This is kind of the way it works in church history. The schismatics become more and more and more wild, more and more and more fringe. And so the schismatics of yesterday, they weren't wild and fringe enough. We have to go a step further. And so for him, he kind of feels like, you know, Marcel Lefebvre and his legacy in the SSPX today, it's not going far enough. We need to go a step further than that. Gone are the days when guys like Marcel Lefebvre were the wildest group around, or the SSPX was the wildest group around. Now you have, you know, Vigano promoting his set of contism. And here we come to the punctum dolens, he continued. That is the great contradiction that unites the proponents of Vatican II with its historical opponents, the Society of St. Pius X and Primus, and wanting to proceed with an evaluation of objectively extraordinary facts using ordinary means of evaluation. As I've often said, it seems to me that some commentators are more concerned about the doctrine of the papacy than with the salvation of souls. Because that's oddly enough criticism that I would have of Vigano and others. These guys aren't evangelists. I mean, they're not really bringing people into the Catholic Church. They survive by poaching off of existing Catholics. They prey on Catholics, for instance, in the Novus Ordo, or even the Latin Mass communities. And now it would seem even the SSPX, which is not in full communion with the Catholic Church, but it seems that he's also preying on them as well. The way they survive is they convert existing Catholics to their ideology and their views. They're not evangelists. They're not really bringing in any significant amount of non-Catholics or anything like that. That's left for us to do in the Catholic Church. We're the ones who actually bring them into the Catholic Church. And then these guys come and snatch them away. So to talk about the salvation of souls, we're not so much concerned about that as much as we are the doctrine of the papacy. That's a little interesting. But also I would point out that the doctrine of the papacy that I would say level-headed Catholics are concerned about is dogma. And so what he's promoting is something contrary to traditional Catholicism on the papacy. He's promoting doctrinal errors. So yeah, that is an important thing. We do need to be concerned about that. But it's also a both and, right? You can be concerned about doctrine in the church and the salvation of souls, both. Both the salvation of souls and the doctrine of the church, it's a both and.
So he says, so that they find themselves preferring to be governed by a heretical and apostate pope. He's talking about the SSPX. Rather than recognizing that a heretic or an apostate cannot be at the head of the church, to which, as such, he does not belong. Okay. Well, it also means that you currently don't have a head in your church, a visible head. This is interesting because isn't this exactly what some Eastern Orthodox are saying today? There is no visible head in the church. This is the view of some Eastern Orthodox today, which I've refuted in my book, Answering Orthodoxy. You're welcome to check out the refutation of that there. But it's curious that we're kind of having to borrow from Eastern Orthodox ecclesiology on this particular point, or at least various versions of Eastern Orthodox ecclesiology. They're not united on this point. And I would further add, since you currently don't have a visible head, talking to those who follow Vigano and his set of contents, since you currently don't have a visible head, what is your solution for bringing one about? Like, how are you going to elect a new pope? How are you going to elect a new visible head? At least the conclavists, like Pope Michael the First and Pope Michael the Second, at least they made an attempt to elect a visible head and thought that they had one, right? At least you have the conclavists who have tried to solve that problem. But these other set of Acontists who are not conclavists, how are you going to solve this situation that you're in where you no longer have a visible head? And again, how does this line up with Vatican I ecclesiology that speaks of there will perpetually be successors to the throne of St. Peter in Catholic history, which if what they're saying is true, that teaching of Vatican I is false. And by the way, that is a dogma within Catholicism. So I think that that would falsify Catholicism, which would mean that maybe the Eastern Orthodox are right, or the Oriental Orthodox are right, or the Protestants are right, and so on. But certainly Catholicism would be, right? Our task must not be to engage in the abstract speculations of canonists, but to resist with all of our strength and with the help of God's grace the explicitly destructive actions of the Jesuit Argentine. In other words, stop talking about doctrine, stop talking about canon law, stop talking about theology and the difficulties with my view, stop talking about that. Let's just go with our feelings and just resist Pope Francis, because he's not really the Pope. So we're going to table the theological issues and just kind of go with our gut feeling that we just think he isn't the Pope. And yeah, let's just resist him. Refusing with courage and determination any collaboration, even indirect collaboration with him and his accomplices. Tell me again that he is in the Catholic Church. Tell me again. Clearly, he is outside of communion with Catholic Church. And not only that, we're seeing him create a parallel church. Because obviously he's not operating within the structure of the Catholic Church by his own admission, and he is creating new structures within or outside of the Catholic Church, houses of formation against Vatican II, against Bergoglio, and overseeing illicit liturgies outside of communion with the Catholic Church. How is this not a parallel church? That is a schismatic communion. This is exactly how schisms happen in church history. This is how parallel churches begin. This is how something like the Old Catholics began, or the Anglicans began, or the Eastern Orthodox. This is how parallel churches operate. They leave the structure of the Catholic Church and create their own structures. And that's what we're seeing today. Now, we're up close to the situation, so it's a little harder to see. But take a step back 100 years and look back on this, and we'll think, wow, there was the beginning of that parallel church. There was the beginning of those guys, whatever they'll be called in church history, whatever schismatic communion title name that they adopt, whatever they end up calling themselves, we'll say that's where they were started. The Veganoists. I don't know what you would call them, but maybe they'll call themselves the true Catholic Church. That's how the true Catholics started. There they are, right there, back then with Vigano. His Excellency concluded his remarks by stating that Catholics can be morally certain that the tenet of Santa Marta is a false prophet. Actually, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. You can be morally certain that Pope Francis is the Pope because of the universal and peaceful reception of his election that would heal in the roots any canonical defects. So it's the exact opposite of the truth. As such, they are authorizing conscience to revoke our obedience to him. Okay, well, again, the definition of schism is a lack of submission to the Roman pontiff or those in communion with him. And clearly, he is no longer in submission or obedience to Pope because he doesn't even recognize that he's the Pope. So if Pope Francis is the Pope, which he is, and that is morally certain, then guys like this are no longer in the Catholic Church. Because once again, the sin of schism also automatically includes an automatic excommunication. So he has already been automatically excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And he says, and he's acting like a biblical wild boar who has no care for the sheep. The Bergoglio problem, he further added, cannot be solved by ordinary means. No society can survive the total corruption of the authority that governs it and the church as long as society and the church continue to be held hostage by the enemies of Christ the King and his most august mother. We will not be able to hope for the end of this most painful trial because we will not have made the necessary choice of sides that the Lord expects of us in order to make us shares in his total and definitive triumph over Satan. Again, I encourage y'all, I'll put links to this in the show notes. Go and read the formation house that he has created that, again, is not in communion with the Catholic Church. So he is training priests. And there is also talks of him perhaps ordaining bishops in the future, which, okay, well, it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, look, if you don't believe that Pope Francis is the Pope, and you think that most of the bishops in the Catholic Church are following an apostate, and you're a bishop, right? Wouldn't you ordain other bishops to carry out the true faith and carry out what you think is the true faith and what you think is the true Catholic Church? Wouldn't you ordain bishops? Of course you would. Because you would think, hey, if I don't, the faith ends with me. And the episcopate ends with me. So it's only a matter of time. Maybe he already has ordained bishops. But if he hasn't, it's only a matter of time before he does. Now, once he does, what is that called? It's called a parallel church. This is how you ended up having the Oriental Orthodox, for instance. You know, they ordained their own bishops as well because they felt that they had to continue the true church. So that's what we're seeing. We're up close to it. It's a little bit harder to see that you have a new schism being created in the Catholic Church today because we're right up close. If you were there at the beginning of the creation of the Oriental Orthodox churches, or at the beginning of the creation of the Protestantism, you know, if you were there right up close, it would be a little bit harder to see some of these things. And the lines would be a little bit more blurred, and it would be a little bit harder to see, okay, where the actual break is and where you now have two separate communities. That's something that you tend to see a little bit later when you look back on things through church history. But when you're right up close in front of it, it's a little bit harder to see. And so a lot of people thought that the Protestants were continuing the Catholic Church. And a lot of people thought that the Oriental Orthodox were continuing the Catholic Church. When you're right up close, it's a little bit harder to see. But with historical perspective and a good understanding of Catholic ecclesiology, you can see, wait, hold on. No, this is a parallel church. This is a schism that's being created. You guys are calling it Catholic, but it's not. And those who recognize that in church history were standing up and speaking out against it. And I hope that we do the same, that we recognize it for what it is, and we stand up and speak against this stuff and warn people away from it. And like I say, I have a ton of content helping you work through all kinds of problems and fake news and propaganda against the Pope, stuff that you've seen here disseminated by Vigano. And I also go through a lot of the magisterial documents that would help guard against these errant understandings of theology that are being promoted by these guys. And I encourage you to go and check that playlist out. It's called Understanding the Crisis in the Catholic Church. Plenty of stuff in there for you. Browse it. Take a look at something that interests you. Go and watch it, and I guarantee you'll see wow, okay, I'm seeing what the Catholic Church actually teaches. I'm seeing what the Magisterium actually says, or I see what Pope Francis actually says. And I've been told these other things, but it's not lining up with the facts and the evidence. So hopefully that will help untangle and detach you from some of the confusion that these guys have caused, because I've been there. I once would have thought, you know, if I didn't know what I currently know and I did not work through the issues that I have already worked through, I would look at what Vigano is doing right now and clap for it and say, this is wonderful. I'm so glad we have faithful guys like this who are holding to tradition. But after having learned how much of this is false, how much of it is not true, and how much of this is contrary to traditional Catholic teachings, then I realized, oh, wait, hold on. No, I can't endorse this. But if you find yourself thinking, wow, I'm torn because I kind of feel like he's saying so many true things. All right, I understand that. I've been there. It's not going to be something that's going to be fixed in one day. You're not going to get all of the answers to your questions in one day. You've had at least 10 years of conditioning from this stuff, 10 years of propaganda at the very least. That's going to take some time to undo. So maybe start with that playlist, Understanding the Catholic Magisterium. That will help. Also, my book, Answering Orthodoxy, though it is directed to Catholics who are thinking about going to Eastern Orthodoxy, it will also just help those who currently are not even thinking about going to Orthodoxy. It'll help you work through some of the false teachings that Vigano is presenting here, because some of the false teachings he's presenting are borrowed from the Eastern Orthodox. And so if you work through that book and the theology in the book and the historical facts in that book, you'll start to see how much of this stuff that Vigano is saying is really just on board with Eastern Orthodoxy, and you'll see why it's wrong. So, okay. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. And if it has been, let me know about that in the comments section. In fact, I want y'all to share this on your social media with anybody that you see out there who is confused by this stuff. Anybody that you see out there is promoting Vigano and standing up for this. Share this with them. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Help Reason and Theology grow, because if this channel grows, it will reach more people. And that will help more people recover from a lot of this propaganda that they've been conditioned to believe. And also consider supporting Reason and Theology so that the channel can continue to offer this kind of content that will help people recover from this false theology that's being promoted, unfortunately, by people even within the Catholic Church, not just Vigano outside of the Catholic Church, but unfortunately some people within the Catholic Church promote this stuff. So help Reason and Theology grow by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/Reason and Theology, or the GoFundMe or PayPal links there in the show notes, whichever one you prefer. But if you join on Patreon, you will get access to extra content, plenty of extra content. So consider that as well. All right. Well, certainly pray for Vigano and others who are being deceived by this stuff. And that's going to do it. See y'all later. God bless.
Are you a Catholic thinking about converting to Eastern Orthodoxy? Or are you a Protestant discerning whether or not to become Catholic or Eastern Orthodox? If so, I have the book just for you. It's called Answering Orthodoxy, and engages all of the arguments that Eastern Orthodox use against the Catholic Church. I respond to all of them. I show that they are in error, and in fact, they're inconsistent. Because the things that Orthodox are objecting to are in fact found in their own tradition. So the fullness of the faith can only be found in the Catholic Church. Check out the book right now at shop.catholic.com for your copy today.
Hey everybody, just wanted to tell you about my new free ebook,
Church Chaos, Biblical Insights for Confused Catholics. If you are a confused Catholic and you're thinking about leaving the Catholic Church, or you're thinking about converting to the church, but you see that there's a crisis in the church and you're just unsure, this is the book for you. Again, it is free. Just simply go to reasonandtheology.com. You'll see a pop-up that comes up on your screen. Just simply click on it and you'll put in your email and it will provide you the free PDF ebook right then and there. Please check it out if you're confused about the situation in the Catholic Church today. ReasonandTheology.com. Are you confused about how Catholic teaching authority works? With encyclicals, papal bulls, councils, and many other things, it's easy to get confused on what is authoritative and what is not. Fortunately, at MaximusInstitute.com, I have prepared a course explaining the Magisterium from A to Z. Visit the website and check out the course, Understanding the Magisterium, for more information.